This Texas Matters podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, deal or no deal? What happens if Texas raises the sales tax to lower the property tax? Who ends up paying more? This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In early April, Governor Greg Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and Speaker Dennis Bonham announced that they would support a proposal to raise the sales tax in Texas and then use those proceeds to cut property taxes. If the plan is passed in the legislature, the sales tax will climb 1 percentage point. That means, including where the local sales tax option is maxed out at 2%, Texas will essentially have a 9.25% sales tax. It's estimated that this will result in additional billions of dollars in revenue for the state and could be used to offset the planned reduction in property taxes, which is a hot-button issue. Representative Dan Huberty, a Houston Republican, filed the tax swap bill. He estimates the tax switcheroo could buy down school property taxes by about 20%, which could save the owner of a home valued at $200,000 about $400 a year. The plan has plenty of critics and has drawn vocal opposition by mostly Democrats who say this pushes the tax burden further onto the backs of the working families of Texas. They will pay a larger share of their income in taxes. They say the wealthy will benefit from this plan and that there are other places in the Texas economy where the needed tax revenue could be collected. Supporters of the plan say it would benefit the overall Texas economy, and the businesses that experience a reduction in their tax bill will now be able to hire more workers. So we're going to take a little walk into the deep weeds on this question. We're going to hear from both sides. Later, we'll get the take from the Texas Public Policy Foundation, which applauds the plan. But first, Dick Levine of the Center for Public Policy Priorities tells us that this is a plan that would hurt the poor of Texas while benefiting big business and the high income.
The way it was laid out by Chairman Huberty would be to raise the sales tax, state sales tax, by a penny, use 80% of the proceeds to reduce school property tax rates, and the other 20% to actually invest in education.
But when you say a swap, you begin assuming all things being equal. And I don't know if we can do that with this.
Well, the original proposal was, in fact, sort of just raising the sales tax and using all of the sales tax to reduce property tax. And that's been revised some, but still most of the money from the higher sales tax would go to cut property taxes. But it's not equal in the sense of different people pay sales tax and property tax. And the controller has calculated for each of those taxes by family income level who pays the most and who pays the least. And when you net it out, if there were to be an even swap, it's very clear that 80% of Texas families would lose, and only the 20% of Texas families with incomes over $150,000 would come out ahead. Now, to the extent that he's not going to use all the money to cut down property taxes, really, from that perspective, makes it worse, because you'll be paying in fully on the sales tax and getting only part of it back in lower property taxes. But on the other hand, the extra money you're not getting back in lower property taxes is going to go help improve public education. So we can't complain about that part.
Governor Greg Abbott has said that even if you're not paying property taxes, if you're not a homeowner, if you're a renter, you're still paying property taxes because part of your rent is going towards that particular expense. He says renters will experience relief.
Well, he is correct that part of your rent payment is really just the property tax that your landlord paid and then passes on to you when they're calculating how much to charge you for rent. The controller's numbers take that into account because businesses pay property taxes and they pass that on too in either higher prices or lower wages or lower profits. The trouble with renters is that there's no way to guarantee that the lower property taxes paid by their landlord is going to be passed on to them. In most situations, the rents are really determined more by market forces. And if you're in a hot real estate market and your property taxes are dropped because of one of these bills, you can probably just keep on charging what you were charging before because people are willing to pay it.
So renters would more likely to have, they would experience the same rent, and then they will see an increase in sales tax.
That's right. I mean, we don't know for sure what will happen to rent, but there's no reason to believe that the landlord's going to just pass on the full tax savings.
Sales tax in and of itself, it's always been seen as a regressive tax. Can you talk about what does that mean?
Yeah, the sales tax is well known to be a regressive tax. And regressive is a technical term. What it means is that people with lower income pay a higher percentage of that income in sales tax than people with higher income do. And if you were to raise the sales tax, the extra burden would fall more heavily on those who could least afford it.
So if you are low income and you are finding yourself paying a higher percentage of your income into sales tax than if you were high income.
Right. We, according to the controller's calculations, what they do is rank all Texas families in order by income and then divide them into five equal number of households in each group. And the bottom group are families who are trying to make it on less than about $38,000 a year. And right now, in sales taxes, they pay 7.33% of their money on average in sales taxes, either directly or indirectly, because it's been passed on by businesses, et cetera. And in contrast, the people at the top, which is the 1/5 of families with incomes over about $150,000 a year, pay only 1.6% of that income in sales tax. So the ratio there is almost 5-1 between the folks at the bottom and the folks on the top.
If we were looking at the overall economy, and you're trying to figure out how to put money in the hands of the people who will spend it, and so that you will have a lot of activity, more jobs, be able to get goods and services into the hands of the people who need it. Raising the sales tax, what would that do for the economy?
Well, the reason that the sales tax is regressive is because it's a consumption tax. It's based on what you buy. Now, we do have exemptions for groceries and medicine and over-the-counter drugs and your gas and electricity you use in your home. But the problem is that lower and even middle-class people tend to spend everything they have just to keep their families going and pay sales tax on that, on most things. But people at the top can take care of their families and have money left over for investing. So if they're not using it to buy things, it's not taxed. Or they use it to buy services that aren't taxed, like accountants, where for the tax bill, the federal tax that was just done, or lawyers, or stockbrokers, or real estate agents. These are services that are used more by people with higher incomes, and none of those are taxed.
This raising of the sales tax is being introduced as a way to solve a problem, which is property taxes are too high. How did that happen? How did property taxes get so high that they have become a problem?
Well, I'm not sure it is a problem. We need to invest in our schools, and the property tax is really the best way to do it because it's a local tax. So each community can decide how much more they want to pay in order to improve their schools. The trouble is not everybody pays their fair share in property taxes. And it's well known that commercial and industrial property probably isn't on the tax rolls for their real market value. It's easy for a chief appraiser to determine what a home in the subdivision's like. In fact, most homes, because a lot of them are bought and sold, and they pretty much know what the real market value is. But with commercial and industrial, they don't have the information they need because sales prices are not required to be disclosed. So it's easy to get it from the multi-listing service for residential. But for commercial and industrial, there's no direct way for the appraiser to know how much somebody values, say, an apartment house. Additionally, there's a wrinkle in the law that's available to everybody, but it really is taken advantage of by big business that can afford to go to court, which is called the equal and uniform provision. And the business can go to court and say, I don't care whether or not you've really guessed my market value correctly. I am valued higher than the median value of similar properties. And they can go in, well, half of all properties are above the median value. So you get in sort of a death spiral where the commercial and industrial property wins in court, or the appraisal district, because it will have to pay attorney's fees to the other side if the appraisal district loses in court, the appraisal district settles without even having to go to court. And it's estimated that there is billions of dollars in uncollected taxes because these commercial and industrial properties are not paying their fair share.
Would this so-called swap work in the favor of big commercial property owner, industrial property owners, and relieve their tax burden considerably while raising the price that, you know, the sales tax of working people? This is something, does this benefit one part of the economy at the expense of another?
Well, we can tell from these incident studies really should take into account all the taxes that are passed on to you by business. But if you want to look at just who writes the check, according to the controller, the sales tax is paid nearly 58% by individual consumers, the rest by business, but the property tax is 47% by individual consumers and the rest by business. So in other words, that if you look at who's writing the check to pay taxes, sales tax and property tax, you can see that business's share of property tax paid is about 10% higher than business's share of sales tax paid. So if you're cutting the property tax, you're cutting the tax that is paid more by business and raising the sales tax, which is paid more by individual consumers.
So we're seeing, as commercial property gets this, because of its way that the system is set up, there's this, and we don't know the sale price of what properties are, that because there's a shifting of the burden in property taxes towards home ownership. Is that right?
Right. That's already in existence. That's one of the reasons that there's so much pressure on property tax, is not every property owner is paying on their full market value.
So some people are getting a deal, the people who have big commercial property, and some people are having to pay extra, and those are the middle-class homeowners.
Right. That's right. As long as a city or a county or a school district decides, it sets its budget, and then it decides the tax rate it needs to raise that amount of money, that money is coming unfairly, disproportionately from homeowners compared to business.
And if the legislature and the leaders of the state of Texas were truly interested in trying to provide relief to middle-class home ownership with their property tax bill, they should figure out a way to correct that.
Well, your goal is to cut property taxes and help homeowners. There's a way to do it directly. Is right now, there's a mandatory statewide homestead exemption of $25,000. So you probably got your appraisal in TOTUS in the mail this week, and you can see there'll be your taxable value, and then there's exemptions. So let's say your home is worth $300,000. you don't pay taxes on the $300,000. You pay on $300,000 minus the $25,000 homestead exemption. Well, you could raise that $25,000 to $35,000, or there's a bill in the House to raise it to $50,000. That will go directly to help homeowners. And the other advantage is everybody gets the same break. It's not a, there's other homestead exemptions that are a percentage. Well, a percentage, the biggest amount of the break goes to the people with the biggest homes. But with a flat dollar amount exemption, everybody would save, let's say, $300 on their property taxes because of that. So I think it's more fair, and it's directly targeted to help homeowners.
So Texas does not have an income tax, and that is why we have seen higher taxes in these other areas than other states might have. But there are other things that Texas can tax.
Well, you know, in 2015, the legislature cut the franchise tax, which is the main business tax we have, paid only by business, by a quarter, which meant that they reduced the amount of money coming in every budget biennium by $2.5 billion. That was a bad mistake, and that's one of the reasons why they're beginning to worry about the future revenue, is because they gave a good chunk of it away in 2015 by cutting a business tax.
Is that being talked about being fixed?
No. When talking about oil and gas taxes, there has been a hearing in the Senate Finance Committee. It would sunset what's called the high-cost natural gas exemption. And this is just a classic example of a tax break. And this case was created in 1989 to help the natural gas industry. It's not needed anymore. And it is costing tens of millions of dollars a year completely unnecessarily to help an industry that's doing just fine on its own.
Another argument I've heard is that it's just a penny. Why are you getting so stressed out about just a penny?
Well, it's two reasons. One is this penny. Right now we have a 6.25% state sales tax. Raising it by a penny to a 7.25% would tie us for the highest state sales tax in the country, ironically with California, which is often used as a negative example in the legislature for things you do not want to do. And we would be matching them for the highest state sales tax rate. Plus, in most big cities in the state, there's an extra 2 cents going to the city or the transit authority, or in San Antonio, actually a little bit to pre-K. But that means that when you buy things, it would now be a 9.25% sales tax. So if you were to go buy an item, big item, say a refrigerator for $1,000, that would be $92.50 in sales tax. That's pretty significant, and it might make you hesitate to make that purchase, which would hurt business in Texas.
But people have to make their purchases. You need that refrigerator.
Well, that's right, and that's why these regressivity tables show you that a lot of people don't have a lot of choice. They have to do these things on behalf of their family, and if you're making them pay extra sales tax as a percentage of income, it's going to hurt the people who are struggling just to keep things together.
Dick Levine is the Senior Fiscal Analyst for the Center for Public Policy Priorities. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're going to continue looking at this proposed tax swap that is being pushed in the legislature. It would raise the sales tax 1 cent and use that to pay off some property taxes. The Texas Public Policy Foundation applauds this plan. Vance Jin is the senior economist at the TPPF.
We've actually long been in favor of the swap. If you look at swapping out fully the property tax with the sales tax, a more efficient form, more fair form of taxation overall. What we're not in favor of is using any of that additional money generated from the sales tax increase for increasing spending. It should be a dollar for dollar cut in property taxes, while also looking at slowing the growth of spending over time with property tax reform. Because if not, then we'll just see property taxes go up from valuations increasing like they have in the past. And so I think this is really a combination sort of deal, and one that we think could generate more prosperity in Texas if done correctly.
Can you explain about why you say that a sales tax raise would be more fair because it's been described by many as being a regressive tax and a tax that the poor would be paying a greater share of their income on.
Yeah, so whenever you look at the regressivity, where lower income people as a share of their income pay a larger part of their taxes, that's something that happens whether it's a sales tax or really even a property tax. Anytime you have a flat tax rate, lower income people are going to pay more of their income to taxes. But whenever you look at it, a sales tax, you pay a sales tax one time when you buy something and you're done. However, with a property tax, you pay it year after year after year. So there's really this compounding effect that affects lower-income people the most. And even when you consider it, lower-income people, they're the ones that it affects, because it drives people from not being able to buy a home, and then it eventually makes it to where they can't afford it and pushes them out of the home entirely. So whenever you look at the full effect of a property tax, it really becomes even more regressive than a sales tax.
Some people say that having property tax relief does benefit everyone, even if they don't own property directly. Is that true?
Yes, that's also true. I mean, whenever you think, so the property tax is paid by those who own property or hold property, of course, but also renters. If you're in an apartment or if you rent a house right now, you're paying the tax. It's just being passed on by your landlord in the form of higher rent. So everyone does pay the property tax. And whenever you also think about it, even the businesses that pay it, what do? They pay the property tax. They submit it to the government, but then they pass that higher cost on the form of higher prices, lower wages, and fewer jobs available. So at the end of the day, everybody pays the property tax.
So a property owner doesn't really have the motivation to lower the rent if they get a reduction in their property tax.
Yeah, I mean, there is that concern where you lower the property taxes overall. The landlord may not pass that on to the form of lower rent for someone, but what it would do is give them incentive to not increase it as fast, right? And so I think there may be some truth. Some of these landlords will pass it on because it's a more competitive environment. They want to make sure they bring in the best tenants. While at the same time, others will say, you know what, I just want to increase it by as much this next period. Because whenever you look across Texas, you know, rents have really been increasing at a rapid rate. And really a lot of these businesses are paying a large share of the property tax, which about half of it is being paid across the state by businesses alone, which ends up just being passed along to the form of higher prices by the consumer. And sales taxes too. Sales taxes, a lot of that's also paid by businesses. And then part of it's also paid by the consumers as well. So I think both of these situations, when you move towards a sales tax, it ends up being more efficient. It's based on market transactions, not oftentimes on subjective valuations of appraisal creep over time by property taxes. And so I just think, and the other thing too is that a sales tax is cheaper or not more efficient in the sense of not a complex, cumbersome sort of an administrative cost like you have with an appraisal district with the elected officials and everything else that goes into the property tax system. So it becomes cheaper as far as that burden is considered.
There is a concern that sales tax revenue can be very volatile for the state. We have seen some years where it has gone down when we have had big recessions. Is that something that, you know, the state, should they really be banking on all that sales tax revenue?
Yeah, so there is this idea of the revenue volatility from sales tax. And if you look at it compared with the property tax, it is more volatile. But what I would say is that a sales tax tends to bounce up pretty quick after an economic downturn because it flows with the incomes of people throughout the state. It also reflects the ability to pay more by Texans than a property tax. Property tax continues to go up. That's why it's less volatile, not based on the ability to pay by Texans, but by the whims of those at the county appraisal district and by the elected officials. And so that's not necessarily, I think that's actually a cost to having a property tax system because it doesn't reflect the ability to pay. As incomes are falling, property taxes continue to go up, meaning there's a higher cost on those who are paying it. At the same time, with a sales tax, you know, we have a rainy day fund, and that's what it's there for. If we have revenue shortfalls, then that would be covered by the rainy day fund if we move more and more towards the sales tax system overall. And the third thing I would say is, look, it's all about the amount of spending. Spending is what drives taxes. So if we must also practice fiscal restraint by local governments and by the state as well to be able to cover any of these shortfalls that may happen whenever you see sales tax start to take a dip when we have economic recessions and then picks back up when we have expansion.
There's a big difference in Texas between the rural areas and the big urban areas. And there's some speculation that this swap would actually hurt the rural areas more because they're not seeing the gigantic increase in property taxes that we have in the big cities. Also, the rural areas seem to have lower wages, and so that they would be taking a bigger chunk out of their income. So is there a urban-rural question that needs to be asked in this?
I mean, you definitely have a different cost of living, whether it be in rural or urban, and different sales tax bases. You know, fewer sales tax overall bases are there in the rural areas compared to the urban areas. But at the same time, whenever you think about it, people are going to see a 1 cent, a one penny increase. At least what's being discussed right now is the discussion is have a penny increase in the sales tax to reduce the school maintenance and operation property tax by about 15 cents is what it would be for most people across the state. And so what that could really do is to be able to boost people's pay overall and make it a less costly sort of tax. And so I think, you know, sure, anytime you have a tax, there are going to be some who are going to win, some that are going to lose. But I think when you're moving to a more efficient tax system, like the research and economic data has really shown more toward the sales tax, that it will help those that are not only in the urban areas, but also the rural areas to be better off than they are now.
Well, looking at winners and losers in this swap equation, it can be argued that big property owners, commercial property owner, industrial property owners are going to win much bigger, mm-hmm. and that than the homeowner, the average homeowner, and also then the homeowner will also be paying that additional sales tax. So not only will mm-hmm. they not be getting the big bonus of the tax reduction, but they will be paying more in sales tax. So who does this help?
Well, you know, I think when I think, you know, that is a concern and one that I think we'll need to look at to see what the effects are from something like this. But whenever you look at the data from the Texas Comptroller, it shows that about half the sales tax is paid by businesses across the state today and a similar amount to property taxes. So and whenever you think about, okay, are the businesses going to benefit? Businesses are also the one that are seeing massive increases in their property taxes. You know, if you have a homestead, you're maxed out at a 10% appraisal increase year after year. Well, if you don't have a homestead or if you're a business, you don't have that same sort of limitation. So a lot of businesses have really been hit hard by the increasing amounts of property taxes over time. And that's reflected in the wages that we are paid across the state and also the cost of the goods and services that we're buying. So by allowing for a situation where businesses are able to benefit from this move along with the consumers, I think consumers will also see even a bigger influence of this, and not only consumers, but the workers, allowing for more money in their pockets. And that's where you see the increase in economic output and more jobs that are being created because of this new economic environment. You know, I really think when you look at it, moving to the sales tax system would help Texas to be an economic juggernaut, allowing for us to have more prosperity across the state.
Vance Jin is the senior economist at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He praises a proposal in Texas to raise the sales tax a penny to pay off some property taxes. Earlier, we heard from Dick Levine, the senior fiscal analyst at the Center for Public Policy Priorities. He says the plan raises taxes on the poor and gives a tax break to the wealthy and big business. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. And that's where you can find past Texas Matters programs, and you can find us wherever you get your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.